got one right. Beginning of the talk with Rick this Friday morning, 19th of October, 73. Well, the hurricane coming up on the East Coast. Channel 1 right. And the beginning of the talk with Rick in the kitchen this Friday morning, the 19th of October, 73. Channel 1 right. And the beginning of the talk with Rick this Friday morning, the 19th of October, 73. Channel 1 right. And the beginning of the talk with Rick this Friday morning, the 19th of October, 73. Channel 1 right. And the beginning of the visit with Rick this Friday morning, the 19th of October, 73.
Well, finally, I don't know anything that's been worse on me than that kneeling stuff. Every time I pick it up, it's I have to fight the battle of getting into it.
Yeah.
And that first one, you see, is very simple. But I'll be damned if I can do it. And the other day, what I did, I went back through that February tape and all the work we did on it, and then the August tape.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of got me into it. And so I hit it off. 1957 is the pivotal date for me. And it goes right from there, you see. And that summer, Louis Nealon retired, and I came to Florida. And what I do now this wouldn't be cricket, but what I do is bring up all those things that Louis Nealon was a part of. That Audubon Club,
mm-hmm,
with Mary Sherwood. You see, she was that quiet little New Englander that came down here and lived with alligators in a sleeping bag.
Mm-hmm.
And I just brought up little particulars and circumstances, you know, and it got to be right exciting there. It was not any good, but, you know, it helped me get into it. That era was around 1960. That's before I came down here. Now, after I came down here, you see, but I didn't take, I bought this place, we closed the transaction in Thanksgiving 61.
Mm-hmm.
But see, I was just in and out of here for a couple of years. I didn't live down here. I had a couple of tenants, and they all did me in, and they were nice, you see. But nothing worked. I remember Cookie's old friend over here. What's his name? He working with now.
Stokes?
Yeah, Jack Stokes came down here, and he's going to take the place over. And I remember one time he was sitting in there with all his family. They just come to see it. They're sitting in the front room there, in the parlor, I call it. And they just was making themselves at home as if they just practically had moved down here. And I remember when we started talking about the transaction, the financial part of it, the way Jack approached it was, well, this was going to be considerable out of way for him. But he wouldn't hold me responsible for the extra mileage he had to drive. I knew right then that goose was cooked. But now look what would happen if I'd had enough sense. At that time, to get old Jack Stokes down here,
mm-hmm,
just look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Just look what would have happened. It's in, you just can't believe it. Now you see, the way I look at it, I have known so damn little that I have had to learn on everybody who's ever been down here.
Mm-hmm.
And it works a hardship on them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it works a pee out of me, but see, I don't count that. Well, I'm used to it. I'm hardened. But it works the hell out of them. And they can't take it long. And I think you've just been burnt out now for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Just too damn much of it.
Yeah.
So instead of putting an end to it at the time you first began to tire, or to go on to Mississippi, or to go on to North Carolina, or to go on to Miami somewhere, you see, and break it up.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, that is very hard to do. I remember when I was your age, I was always away from home after I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd do fine for 2 or 3 weeks while my energy lasted. And when my energy gave way, I was just so depressed, I couldn't hardly eat. I can remember that, and I just dread it. I just feel sorry for myself. I think about all these other happy people and how miserable I was. That's the truth. And once I've got the place now, I know. But you see, it takes you a long time to do that. Well, we can get one of these girls that work on a computer. You see, they are mathematically minded and hellfire. They can do this stuff mile a minute and never think of it. I don't think Debbie's pretty good, but she ain't as good as those computer girls.
Yeah, they work with stuff all the time.
Yeah. And the things that just bog me down, it would just be commonplace for them. Well, now you see what we're doing to you. You see, just your feeling for the material. We're bogging you down a little extra doing something that one of those damn computer girls can do for $4 or $5 an hour. Well, what's $4 or $5 an hour? When they produce so much.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even think about it. They don't even know what they're doing, do they?
No, they don't.
I don't. What does Debbie's sister do up there, Phoebe? Do you know?
Programs, all I know.
Yes.
I don't know what.
Well, isn't she that type?
I don't know if she runs the machines. I think she just writes the stuff up. I don't know. I'm sure she knows how to run them.
But I mean, her mind, it sort of goes in slots.
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. That's a peculiar kind of mind sometimes. You never know what those people are like.
Yeah. That's right. Well, I'll tell you, the one thing I regret about it is, you see, that we're getting to the point now where we're not pressed. And we can have fun. Now this thing I'm doing here, you ought to be doing it. Boy, I could do this little preface thing, you know, because I have a feel for that particular thing. But the rest of it, you see, you and David could be doing it. I shouldn't be doing it. And then we could go from, you see, all these things that come up. You say she's got that little computer mind, but on the outside, you don't know what sort of mind she got. Well, we could find out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you say, whose business is that? Well, if you're not going to kind of inquire into the sort of world you live in, what in the hell is the use of living in it? I mean, you see, that's my view.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, the money side of it, you see, you got to have money, you got to have a little, but you don't have to have near as much as the old folks think you have. Well, now, you see, I'm staying clear of that. I don't know. And furthermore, you see, we've got to the point where we can do this and make a living too. That's the hell of it. See, See, we've got to the point now where you can do all this stuff out here half time, part time, on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Just as much time as you want to spend on it, you see. But it don't take, you see, once you got into it, and you see, actually, you have gone farther into it than anybody I've ever worked with. You see, you may feel a little bit, you may hedge a little bit about your different abilities. Well, look at mine. What the hell have I got? You see, I've worked all my life with just mediocre abilities. But I'm not so sure that all those great gifts are the real factor, because you know what goes on. And you have certainly, if you just sit down and think of all the directions that you've gone, you see that one of the finest, you see, is that Ishmael thing with John Turner. Nobody has done that.
Mm-hmm.
Not one soul who's been out here has even had an idea about it. Nobody else. Well, you see, if you took a break, or if you had done that, you see, by now you could have worked it out and have it down presentable. God, I hate to think of all those things. Now, what are you going to do? Going down there and work for Winn-Dixie?
No, I'll be in Gainesville. I couldn't go live in Miami.
You going to take a course?
Well, I'm going to try and investigate their programs.
Well?
That's something I've learned. You don't just sign up. I don't do that.
You need a good seminar, you see.
Mm-hmm.
A good, what do we call them? You know, a good graduate course.
Yeah.
A good one now in literature, and it don't much matter what. I'd say American, for the simple reason that you're closer to that.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then if you get into Milton or Chaucer or something like that, you see, you're working entirely with a historical point of view.
Yeah, that's not much I could ever do then.
Well, it's slow. You see, it slows you down.
Mm-hmm.
God, when I think of the time I put in on that historical point of view, oh, it's just, see, the only people I had to advise me was the academic people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you see, now this is what I've seen from this from this preface on Mr. Neeland. That world that I saw when I first came down here, that rookery on the Lake Alice, I never dreamed of anything like that. It just like it was in another world. Just like this world had gone back and was fresh, right close to the garden, you see. Well, it's hard to say. All right. That took me, all of that, and there's so much of it. That took me away from the academic side. But, you see, I kept a toehold in the academic side. If I hadn't, I wouldn't have had the skills to work the other.
Yeah. You just let it go right by.
I wouldn't know how. So in a way, you see, you all kind of, you make the inquiry, but you do it with the help of the skills that I've sort of halfway picked up from years and years and years, you see,
mm-hmm.
in the literary business, you might call it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, 16 times a week I'd go into a class with an audience, you see, and line out a book. So I do it to see where my hands tied behind me now. Well, that's what I told Suzanne. If she could just, she she talked about there's always freshmen. She'd always have a job. I say, if you could just be a graduate assistant, you see, with a few freshman classes, just enough to give you practice in handling these books. But damn your lazy hide, what you'll do, you'll start being a full-time assistant.
Yeah.
And that'll kill you off.
Yeah. You'd probably forget about the books, so busy just being an assistant.
Yeah.
And just getting your way.
Yeah. You won't get outside. You'll get bogged down campus life.
That's right.
Or departmental life.
Yeah.
Well, you see, you could use a good seminar.
Mm-hmm.
But see, what you get, you don't get a good one. What you get is the instructor turns it over to the students. And what you get is their reports.
Mm-hmm.
And what you need is to see what the instructor makes out of those things. And you make try your wings too.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to just screw around with all those students. And that's the way they all do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the higher you get, the more they do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, you see, that last summer, Suzanne was here. What she did, she went to the class at night with Picard.
Picard, yeah.
And then she'd go up there to his office and talk to him.
Yeah, that.
But you see, she couldn't have done that without me looking over his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, yeah. It would always just end up in a little social visit that wouldn't come about again. That's something they don't like.
Yeah. He'd show her a new edition, an old edition, a nice edition of Franklin or something like that. See, well, that's not what she goes in there for. And you see, all these things, the sociology and economics and things like that, I think they're mostly a waste of time. But here's the thing about it. That's the way the world thinks, and you can't turn your back on it.
No, you sure can.
And what you need, you need a good seminar on that.
Mm-hmm.
One where you know the instructor and where you can pick up a few things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, Rick. I simply don't know. You see, I haven't, you see, you're as far as I've gone. Now, Debbie's a better writer than you are. She's 17 times better writer than I am, you see. But she hadn't gone as far as you have in the things out here. So it's mostly what you see that's as far as I've gone. You see, you've gone way past Suzanne. Now, she's gone past you in the scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
But in what goes on out here, you see, why she hadn't even got her feet wet compared to what you've done. It's just fabulous when you think of how much you've done off and on, first and last. Wade comes over here and he talks big, you see, and flaps his wings like he knows what goes on. He got no notion at all what goes on over here compared to what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he uses little bits that he picks up. I don't know. I don't know. But eventually, I don't believe in the culture now. I don't believe those old cookie skills of having that magic wrench. That'll help you in the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It looks to me like it has to be law. Law. You you see all those scoundrels up in Washington are lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't have to take it to the point of as far as they do, but you got to have that mentality in order to see what goes on. You see, most of the people that you know will have their mentality will be law and finance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all the businesses they're interested in, they don't have to know anything about them. All they know is finance.
Yeah, just pick up the books. Just pick up the books.
Yeah. Now,
you know, it sure gets you, too, because, well, you take somebody like Eddie, who could have that magic wrench, but he can't do it. The business has got a hold of him.
Yeah.
And I heard him say one day, he said, you know, somebody like Buster, they could just go somewhere and work for a bucket of beans and talk for 4 hours.
Oh, really?
He said that. He said, I couldn't do that. And not because he couldn't, not himself, but he can't get away from that station.
Yeah, he got that in his blood now.
It's got him. It's got him.
Yeah.
He's the one that, he has to keep it going. And he's got those books and all those gas thing to worry about and all those repairs, and it's just, I mean, he could be as easy as Cookie, but he can't get loose.
And then he's got all those customers on his mind.
That's right.
What he knows about a customer, you see, he don't realize how much he knows about them. And what he knows may not be much interesting, but it's...
It do pretty well, I'd say. I'd say he knows more than he ever says.
Yeah.
He could line out the Richardsons for you right quick.
He could?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right, that right.
See, he knows them from the book.
Yeah.
He knows all that bookkeeping.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll run them down for, you know, penny pinching. Old man Richardson comes in and puts in one shock absorber. Just one. And all that just tickles Eddie no end. And old man, he could afford a whole new car and look what he's doing. Just one old shock absorber. Just one.
So then he goes home.
Richardson goes home.
And puts in the other one.
No, he just bought one. Just had one done. That's all.
Yeah. Oh, he's sparing, saving.
Just one was giving him trouble. That's all he'd replace. And that one had broken in half.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going a long way before you replace something.
Yeah.
So he knows a good bit. But he just doesn't talk often. But it's not like Buster that you just get him going. It's just every once in a while he'll talk of his own accord. And it's like something gets a hold of him and kind of keeps him a little taut all the time.
Yeah.
And leisure just isn't quite there.
Yeah.
You know?
And he don't realize what we found out over here is you haven't quite seen it until you've talked it out.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Or used it in some way.
That's right.
It's under the surface, but it don't come up until you bring it up.
Now that economics, that law, that does get them.
Yeah.
And you got to worry about that when you got a business running.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like Buster could do. He could get by. Shoot, Buster didn't even sell gas. Buster just had that shop. Eddie's got that affiliation with Shell and all that. That does tie you down.
Yeah. Oh, yes. He got Shell looking down his
right,
back and,
right down.
And Huff, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. You got to sell that gas. He can't go on strike.
Yeah.
Mr. Huff's got to get that penny a gallon.
I don't hear any talk. I don't hear either one of them much.
He'd talk after he's done a job well. If somebody's got a funny trouble with their car and he just happens to find it like that and fix it right away,
mm-hmm.
it makes him happy, and he'll talk then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he'll boast.
Oh, will he?
Yeah.
Oh, will he?
Tell me about when he did 4 valve jobs in one day, how much he made for the boss back in Chicago.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll carry on about those things.
Oh, will he?
But it has to be just when he's kind of turned the trick.
Well, that's that same thing, that cookie boost.
That's right.
The same thing.
That's right. That's right. When he pulls it off, when he pulls off a good deal, he'll come out and just let us have it.
Let you have
that's
it.
Right. That's
I'll
right.
Have it now. I'll have it now. Well, now, you see, I don't boast because I have found when I start feeling my importance, I have a fall coming on right quick. And it don't take much, you see, to just knock me down. I never boast. You see, I'm afraid to. I'd love to. I'd love to boast every now and then, but I'm afraid to. I just don't know what it is. I believe it does you good.
Yeah. You gotta know. I don't know. It's somebody like Cookie, he can boast about something and you know it's not quite true, but the more he boasts, the more you want him to boast.
Yeah.
And gotta, there's something in that.
And you watch his spirit rise as he...
You just don't dare touch it.
No.
Oh.
No, but you see, all those courses are not accessible to you once you register for a degree. So, it looks to me like you've got to have a sort of ne'er do well frame of mind, where you're sort of academic tramp.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
The degree's batting you down. Man. I run into a lot of people like that. They're in the middle of a program and they're just, you can just see them wiggling.
They squirm.
They're like, you know, I gotta write a thesis for this or something.
The better they are, the more they squirm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just the poor ones.
You know, I ran into a fellow yesterday who had done all his coursework for Masters in Linguistics in 3 quarters. He'll average 24 hours a quarter. And then he said, you know, I don't like this. I don't like this anymore. I think I'll go to med school.
Is that right?
Yeah. He's a right bright fellow. I mean, he's exceptionally bright fellow. But you could just see it coming on him there. That degree was coming on, and he saw it. That would get a hold of him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Coursework's fine, but let's not finish up these degrees here.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it's they got a lot of hooks to get you with, and I think sometimes they use them deliberately. See, that's the reason what I do won't publish, because it don't bring them students.
Yeah. Got to have that advertising in it.
Yeah.
Just enough of that.
Yeah.
That's,
And you see, they never fail to ask when Rick and Debbie are going to take a course up there. And I say to them, well, if they come up there and take a course, what in the hell am I going to do? You're not going to send me anybody to help me. Well, we quit that now, but that's the way it was for a long time.
Well, I've still run into them saying, well, when are you going to enter school? We can set you up with a graduate assistantship, and we can do this and that. And it's almost like getting hired by a company. So we got retirement programs and this and that, and
yeah.
I just say, boy, you tie me up so tight.
Yeah.
A man couldn't afford to quit.
Yeah. That's right. So, well, the thing of it is, like Debbie said, when she goes in, her friends ask her what she's writing. Well, she's not writing a novel. She's not writing poetry or a short story or a play. What's she going to tell them? Well, it's embarrassing to her. So you say, well, I'm writing in the manner of the countryside. Wouldn't that be a hell of an answer? For her, you see.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it wouldn't matter because they don't give a damn about me. But for her, you see, she'd just be overwhelmed with an answer like that. Well, they just pass it along. Debbie's out in the country writing the manner of the countryside. Debbie's out there writing the manner of the countryside. You see, where'd we get around? She can't say.
She told me how she's been handling it. She says she just looks at him with a little twinkle and says, well, I think it's prose.
I think it's prose.
And he said it just upsets him no end.
Yeah.
They just, you know, they don't know whether to laugh or say another word, and they don't bother.
Well, there you are.
She just makes light of it.
Yeah.
I think it's prose.
I don't know. I see as I talk to you now, I'm not telling you the thing. I'm just sort of going along, looking at the situation, and to see what will come out of it. You know, as much of its attitude, like when you went back to Miami, you were conscious of that college degree, and there was absolutely nothing you could do about it. And it just was conspicuous to all the people you work with. Well, it's your attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first time I ever ran into that was when I came down here and I heard Wash Clark say about that business communications he had up there. I worked with him in that. And he says 9/10 of his attitude. And I thought to myself, you old bastard, what are you talking such foolishness as that for? But you see, as I got into it more and more, I came around to it. They had too much to learn in the book. I mean, what's in the book is easy to learn. The hard thing is the attitude. Well, you're going to take a hardcore view of the graduate school and you say, well, son, here it is. It's worth money to me. I'm going to just take it in a stride. Well, you can't win. It gets you every time. So you see, perseverance and all works against you. Well, you take the other view, to hell with it. And that's very hard to do, almost impossible. It would be interesting to just breeze, knock around, circulate on that campus amongst the advanced people and see who's got what attitude. And you see, you could tell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could talk to them 5 minutes and tell. Mm-hmm. Without even asking them a question. Well, I used that tramp, you see, from Vater Lindsay. You see, where he circulated around the country, went out to the wheat harvest. You talk about writing. I never did Xerox that, did I? And give you a copy? The library had one single copy, and I've got it.
Of Vater Lindsay?
Yeah. And what I have been meaning to do for 3 or 4 years is Xerox a few copies and just let them have it, because they're going to lose it, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to do is just stick it in the back pocket and walk out. And it's a valuable, handy little book, beautiful little book. And he dips in into the life as he goes along. With hardly any ability to see or to talk or to write. Hardly any. It's almost like your sketches from Miami that year when you were sort of submerged in that stuff down there. Every now and then you see you get to the typewriter.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was just a little glimmer there. Rough, but clear. And that's about what his is. And his frame of mind, you see, I don't know. I just don't know. But see, your frame of mind, I take it was partly just instability. But that's a newer virtue. I don't think you can read that back in as far as Bates Lindsay. I don't think they felt that wasn't quite the. I think that's part of the of this this new way of life. I think everybody's feeling. Well, what you do if you can put a face on it. You see, you think of yourself as an academic tramp. You want to get a toehold in these several disciplines. Everybody you run across now, they don't talk about business. They talk about the financial side of business.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give a damn about setting up the signs and selling stuff on the floor. They're on the financial side. Now, I'm not saying that. I'm just.
That's right. That's just what I got when I was with Colgate.
Yeah.
That's just exactly what it is. You make $20,000 a year, and the company's got more company in the world than anybody else.
Yeah.
That's just about the way it went.
The finance part of it. If you could just get enough finance, you see, to get the vocabulary, to get the little insight into what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think a course is a quick way of getting into it.
Yeah.
You see, you've got other, in a way, it's a cell. You're isolated, and you concentrate. What you get is artificial, but at least You dip into it, right, considerably. Then the apprentice side of it would come out. You could be associated with somebody,
mm-hmm,
and get acquainted with his thinking. But I don't believe, I think you need the, maybe it's just my academic mind that makes me say that.
It always seemed to me it gives you a little framework to work from.
Yeah.
Let you know what kind of literature is around. And
yes, that's right. Yes. Enables you to use the bibliography.
Yeah.
Well, now what I found in literature is that a very small bibliography, if you've got any discrimination, will take you a long ways.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I did with the little bitty article on O'Connor?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I had a lot of experience with that sort of thing, with the kind of writing and writers. See why, but you'll get to experience. A little economics, a little finance, Now you see, Mr. Nealon worked for the state all the time, and it pretty quickly got to the point, working for the state, that you had to have degrees. And he didn't even have a bachelor's degree. But I don't think in the business world or in publishing, or in all those things. I don't believe they care what degrees you have. And still, as long as you can do something, I don't know.
Well, I know Winn-Dixie doesn't want to hire you if you got one.
They don't want one.
Because people won't stay with them. They don't like to start in the stores. They want to start at the top.
Oh.
They'd rather have somebody to work up. That's as good as a degree.
Yeah.
That's better than a degree.
Yeah. Now, they don't mind you going to school a little.
No, they'll pay. They'll send you to school.
But that's just a little.
Oh, they'll give you a whole college degree, but they pick the major. And it's with an understanding you'll work for them a couple of years after.
And they subordinate it to their...
You have to work for them in the summer and everything. You're still a company man.
Yeah.
I figured you'd have to be right impressive to get them to do that. But they said they'll do it. But I think these companies would like to hire a college man. That's what Colgate, when I worked for them in the summer, that's what that whole deal was. I didn't realize that until once I started with them. They were just trying to get recruits.
College men.
Yeah. But the few people I worked with, none of them had degrees, and I didn't see... Well, I asked the one fellow that had a degree in business. I said, does that degree help you any in business? And he just looked at me and said, no, I don't use it.
Well, it's just easy to find that out. Hell, that's the sort of thing you can just ask a question and find out if they want a degree or they don't. They. If you were here, I'd get to see you every now and then. But now, you see, I don't know what sort of contacts you've had all the time. And in my case, it would be a great help to me if I could just pick up and leave this whole neighborhood and this whole university and go somewhere else. But see, I've got too much to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether Miami would be you'd be with the family there, and your father would counsel you to, you know, be prudent.
That's the truth.
Whether that would, there's plenty of facilities there.
Miami is hard to live in. You just elbow to elbow.
Yeah.
I mean, and I've never been impressed with any of their universities or anything. I just...
Even the old university, man.
It's too much money. It's just... You talk about campus life. I mean, you got a whole city of it. Gainesville's at least smaller.
Yeah.
Used to be, anyway.
Yeah. Well, now, where do you function the best, Rick? You don't need to... You can live right in the heart of the thing. You don't need to get out of it much. You're geared to that. I mean, you've been brought up in it.
Well, I wasn't brought up in the middle of the city. I was brought up in the outskirts. When we moved there, it was cow pasture on all sides.
Yeah.
About the time I left, they built it up.
Yeah.
So I'd much rather live not in the middle of it. See, Gainesville wasn't that big. Now it's right big now.
Yeah.
It's kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yes, it's too big for comfort. It's hard to see your friends. Hard to run into them. Well,
I Gainesville, I got, you know, I know my way around the university, and it just, you know, there's always some contact there just to keep things going.
But you don't need old contacts. you can walk right into freshmen with all your experience, I'd say. Since you're down out in the middle of a new place, you'd feel at home in a week's time.
Yeah, I reckon.
Now you don't reckon, you know you would. And you're not hard to please, and you don't bother people, and you know you're accepted. I think, now as far as I can see, now what comes after that, you see, I wouldn't even be able to imagine anything. This little academic tramp we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I just sort of assume, sort of say, you'd sort of line up with somebody in one of those with that outlook.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all there is now. Now this, the countryside had never appeared to me to be a destination itself. It's just a stepping stone. Just something that is visible that you could use and make something of it at a time when you couldn't make something of the other.
Yeah.
You see that these things, you see, they're important, and I'm going to put in a little bit more time if we got the nerve. Just to get them established where people can use them to see what you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of work involved. And it takes more contacts than I've got. But it doesn't work, it'll be no great loss.
Yeah, I was talking to a fella who, he's a right learned fella. I think he's part doctor and part psychiatrist and stuff. He's on the campus. And he had said he was doing a project in people's reporting, which perked up my ears right then, and I just questioned him a little about it. I just talked to him about it. Say a few things like, you finally get all this education, they can't talk. And he said,
yeah. That?
No, I said that. And he said, yes. And I'm training him to do this reporting. And anyway, I worked in it with him a little and found out he's got so much of that psychology in him that it becomes cause and effect. It says, now, if they see a chair, that may make them anxious. So I had him write about being anxious and being jealous, and I said, well, you're dealing with abstract things. And he looked at me funny. It's not like that chair. That chair is not like anxiety. He says, oh, I see what you mean. And kind of lost interest with me then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was just right surprised. He was actually talking, reporting, and then I wanted to say, well, you're cutting off their language. You're not doing much more than training them in this psychology. You're not really listening to them. And I just remember the other day there was a fellow putting in a heater, and I was watching him. And you know they've got those flues that go up, and he was fitting one, and I was trying to figure out a way to talk, see. And I said, you know, I had to put down the old floorboards in my car one time, and I went down to one of these places that make that stuff and got some of that. And I was talking to the fellow, he kept hammering away on that duct and talking to me, and he never missed a lick. And the heater man said, yes, it's something to watch, somebody who knows what they're doing. And I thought, well, I'll be damned. That's the worst thing you could say. That's the most uninteresting, and you knew he could tell you more. But there was just something about having to say that intelligent generalization, and it cut him off.
Even got to him. He had got to that point.
And I thought, this fellow doing that psychology thing would probably never even realize it. He would never ask him about sheet metal. He'd say, does that stove make you anxious? Well, hell, the fellow doesn't know. That was the saddest thing.
Well, now, you're talking about that stove. J.R. finally got over here.
He did.
Uh-huh. And he stood right there. And he also walked around and performed. And he got down on his knees and looked at the stove. But he stood right there and talked for an hour and a half. He wasn't quite as sassy as he was that afternoon when I caught him at home. That was outdoors. He came indoors and he was raised pretty well, you see.
Mm-hmm.
He and Buster came up at Message Church over there, and they went
right.
And sang every Sunday. And the mama, you see, was directed to singing. And so you see, they've got the instinct in them. But when he comes indoors, he toned down a little bit. But still, the tape is still fascinating. He carried on just in the same way. See, the way I started him over there, I just played right into his hands. I said, he's in there working, and he came out and said, oh, what you are. I said, Dion, I just in a bad shape. That old stove I've got over there, it burns, sure, but it don't get no heat out of it. And last fall, I went around and tried to find out from three or four heating men, and he fixed it up right there. He says that all they knew about a stove was the price, and they had to look on the tag to get that. And away he went, you see. He didn't let up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he took me out there to that stove, 20 years old, 59,000
BTU.
BTU.
Yeah.
It had served in several houses, his mostly. And he said he had just the stove for me. Well, he sort of wore the stove out. We went out there and looked at it and looked at the spare parts he had for it and everything. And we came on back, and he had cut off a big grapevine of some sort. The lightning had hit the tree and hit the grapevine. And he said, he gonna move that thing. I said, hell fine. That'd be a job. But he says, I got this thing to do it with. Pointed out there in the far corner of the yard, and he had one of those little sitting mowers. What do you call them?
Oh yeah, you ride around on them.
Sitting mower?
Yeah.
Well, with a piece of canvas over. He says, "I'll show you." Well, so he showed me implement. made that up. I forget what he said.
Mm-hmm.
But what he said was, you see what it was, and I never seen anything like it. You see, it was as long as from here to there.
Right.
And most of it was transmission.
Good Lord.
Gears.
Good Lord.
Just fabulous. He says it won't turn over, the nose won't rear up, and the wheels won't spin. 1960 model. It's out of whack in one or two places. He got it from somebody. And he says, Sears won't take him seriously and look up the book because they want the old tractor. It's already a museum piece. Now, I'm putting it all in my words.
Hmm.
But that's something what he said. And he stood there and was talking, and Faye had been to the dentist, and she's sitting over there in the car holding her, you know, she's allergic to Novocaine, and feeling sorry for herself, holding her jaw. And I'd been there an hour. My conscience got me, and I told him about it. And he went over there, and you know what he said?
What?
He says, try Clovis. Just a teaspoon and a glass of water. Now, that's not the word, Lavoris.
Oh, Lavoris.
And
yeah.
He called it Lavor. He said to her, try Lavor. You see, he's just a genius. Everything, you see, was in character.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, what I see is, that's what the world was like. And you had one heating man after another. You were just all around the countryside. Plumbers, carpenters, it all worked for you. You see, until we started beating them down, wouldn't pay them. And then they had to join the new world, the new industry. They didn't want to join, but they had to go to town in order to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they all done. Buster's one of the few, and his wife goes, so he still is not Simon Pure, you see. She makes more money. She's way up in the echelon, you know, over there. And she went from Lighter General over to the Veterans Hospital.
Oh.
She's ahead of a whole lot of things. She's confident in it, and she went right up. They took her over there to half again what she's making at Elijah Down, and she gets raises all the time. You know how the government does it.
Yeah. That's right.
So, Buster, you got a little more leeway, a little more time to play. Once you see it, you know, it's so satisfying. You just think, well, why can't I be like that?
I remember I'd mentioned a little bit of the countryside and seeing a friend of mine down in Tampa, Bob. And he's the one that's building the boat now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the one that was surprised to find out that people down there on the rivers weren't drunkards. They were all quite interesting. I think he's taken up working with one of them, and he wrote me. This is the first time he ever said anything. I mean, he always said the interesting, he didn't write anything down. But just one sentence. And he just said, this fella just always amazes me. He's hired me to do some carpentry work, and he pays me well. And then he just had a quote, and he said, you know, I like working with wood. I think I like it more than people sometimes. And I thought, it's not quite the countryside, but it's the same thing, you know, on the ocean.
Yeah, right? it's you're getting loose from something.
Yeah. it was just like a little revelation to him.
Yeah. Well, it'd be nice to keep in touch with him and just see, you know, you can give him, I imagine you're so much looser, freer than he is. So you give him a little lift every now and then.
He does pretty good. He's got his own mind.
Well, yes. This,
I just keep a line going to him, you know, so he keeps telling me what he's doing.
Would a little tape help him at all? Or would it throw him? Or would they?
I think they'd throw him.
Yeah.
Most of them, if they didn't know, they might.
What I mean was you'd use a tape so they could see.
It might. It might.
Well, now you got to figure this, Rick. You see, as I see it now, you see, nobody out here had been able to handle the tapes. They don't just have a feeling for them. And as I see it now, I see this more through Debbie. You see, she'll go with Miss Daisy to the store. And she'll report on that, and it's just little odds and ends. Nothing really worth reporting on. And I think to myself, well, why don't you take a tape? Well, what I have come around to is that the tape has my focus in it.
Mm-hmm.
And she don't feel comfortable with my focus, even when I'm talking in here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's me and the tapes that really holds them off. If you could get one that was a little more rambly, you see.
Yeah.
He hits on this side and then he goes on this side.
I say, you got a visitor.
Tell you, you keep me posted now what you do. I think you've had more than your fill of it now for a while, and have had, and just ought to wash your hands of the whole thing for a while. And what you use you make of it is up to you. Like I said, I hate to see you leave here because I can talk to you occasionally, but it might be better for you if you got out of here. You got your old haunts here that may hold. I don't know what they are. That may hold you down rather than help you.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I've got a whole lot of stuff that holds me down. And I would just give anything to be able to pick up and move.
Mm-hmm.
And get out of here and clear the deck. I'd still keep in touch with them as best I could.
Mm-hmm.
But everywhere I go, I feel like my reputation's following me. They say, listen, here comes this fella. He's a, like Sam Gowan said, a PhD dropout. Everybody knows it, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd like to get out of that temporarily. Out of a fresh start. And it's getting so, the character of the place has changed in so much, it's hard for me to circulate and get around. It's hard for me to.
Yeah.
I have more of a problem than you have, you see. you travel lighter than I do. At least I got rid of these cows. Texas.
Yeah.
But I can't ride that damned old tractor like I did. I get these flare ups, you see, infection. I don't want to just bring them on. That typewriter, though, I don't know if you see how it works as you, but I can't stay away from it. I mean, if I don't go to the typewriter every day, I get it loose ends.
Mm-hmm. And all that goes on, and it's like not being able to talk about anything.
Yes. I don't have anyone to talk it out with much. You see, everybody's busy. So I just go to typewriter. No matter what it is, I just go to typewriter with it. Well, it don't take me long, and then I go ahead with what I'm trying to go ahead with what I'm supposed to be doing. And then you've got these loose ends that you'll probably just pick up yourself sooner or later, you know, when you're John Turner stuff. God, that's rich. You have to go a long ways till you get into something like that. Oh, a long ways. It just ain't much like that.
No.
You see, you got that early Ishmael and over there, and nothing is fresher than that. Nothing. And then old John Turner, damn it, is it high? He's over here trying to beat me out of steer. What does he want me to do? I can send it to the market, you see, and get $300 for it. What does he want me to do? Just give it to him for half price. Or let him work it out or something, and then I'd never know when he's coming.
Yeah.
Well, that's the wrong side of him.
That's right. Right, interesting to watch him trade like that, though. He can keep light, keep on his feet, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Keep moving.
Yeah.
Or a cookie, just touch it and go on to something else.
Yeah.
Come back, see what you're thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I tell you, that just sets me off, just prospecting. What I'm doing here is now, you see, is nothing at all compared to that. Nothing. And you see, you even got into Ishmael. In that section there that I never got into.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got fine sections in this. The only one thing that's holding it up, and that's to get on tape some of the stuff that you already got out there, and you don't need much of it.
Mm-hmm.
You just need a very little, and furthermore, you get it, and I can't get it. And, you see, if you could live around it a while, you could get it with very little trouble. I'm convinced of it. You could get it in the weekdays, or you could get it on the weekend. I mean, he's there, and he's ready to go. If you catch him right, you see, and you got a car, and you can move around, and you're a man, you can move more than the girls can.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not suggesting you do that, you understand?
Right.
Right now, it might be just a thing that bog you down. But that one part of it on tape is essential thing. When he said, I was a rounder in my time. Now, that's not his words.
Hmm.
And I meant to look up his words, and I haven't got around to it, but you know what he said. He looked back at those days, and he likes to look at them.
Oh, yes. Picking up that truck and even being in prison.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Old man Hibbs with a mule. What is his name?
Yeah. Boss Kite.
Boss Kite and his mule. Well, now you see, you're the one who brought it out.
Mm-hmm.
You see, he never talked about Boss Kite to me. Well, he got on kind of the fringe of it, you see. But he never let go. And he never started acting like Boss Kite and the mule and things like he did out there, you see.
No, he never did quite, never gave that same performance.
Not for
never
me.
Did.
Not for me. I'll tell you what. Daniel has got that four-track TAC.
Mm-hmm. It's the same thing you got in the Sony.
No, it's double this.
Mm-mm. It can't be. They don't make anything more than that. Four tracks is as much as you can go. At least with the state of the art now.
Well, let me tell you, David told me he was getting in a TAC that were just like these, and he would sell it to me for $500.
Hmm.
And Daniel says they charge him $1,100 now.
Hmm.
And I said, David, what's the difference? Well, he said he's got full track, and all you need is two. And he said, once you start doubling those tracks, you double the money.
Well, then it wouldn't be the same as these Sonys. Then.
Be the same as these Sonys.
I don't understand.
Same as these Sonys.
I don't understand. He just got that machine fixed last night, the big Telex thing.
Yeah.
Found out they could switch tracks and do everything.
Is that right?
Finally found out what they could do with it.
Isn't that something?
It just... So it's a good machine as long as you don't have any alterations made. We said we had it altered, now it just breaks down all the time.
Well, David said Telex was a low-class product, and he gave him a name of the same thing that would work. He said the Telex wouldn't hold up.
Hmm.
Said,
this one sure hadn't seemed to hold up, that's for sure.
I said, I nailed it, you know. Well, he said, I read it in a magazine. Well, you see, David's far along then.
Well, Wayne's business is radars. I don't think he really got hold of this other stuff.
TASCOM. TASCOM.
Hmm. TASCOM.
It's a division of TAC. And the Telex, he said, is the I can't find a word for it.
Yeah, I guess
it's the inferior product.
Hmm.
And TASCOM is the superior product. It's a studio version.
Oh.
The thing that you have that has to produce.
Yeah.
So you see, Wayne got.
He got.
According to David.
Right. Well, I tell you that. He hadn't gotten his service. He's had that machine ordered for a year and a half, and they're still trying to get it going.
Yeah.
I mean, it has broken down. I mean,
yeah.
It just fell apart this time.
Well, now you see, I've copied enough tapes, changed the channels, you see. All you got to do is just take a cable off this heading and put it on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And you know damn well, Rick, a machine that expensive is going to be that flexible.
Yeah.
It ain't going to be just sitting up there like a rock of Gibraltar.
Mm-hmm.
Just do one thing.
I even asked their head technician. He said, no, you can't do it. And I said, you can't even switch wire? And he says, no, it'll make the tracks go backwards. And that technician was there last night, and I said, can you switch tracks? He said, sure, let me show you. He said, just switch the wire. So there you go.
There you go.
And their head technician was trained to repair the machine.
Yeah.
So it's, they didn't, you know, Wayne didn't buy those TACs. That wasn't his doing. So whoever was there ahead of him bought those, and it was on some kind of deal where he bought five of them, and he gave, two of them went to the university, and he kept the other three. Of course, they don't want anybody to know that.
Yeah.
because they don't know how it got paid for yet. But so that's how they ended up with the TX. That's for them. That's exceptionally fine equipment.
Yeah.
That's almost out of their class.
Yeah.
But I'd said to Sam Gowan, you know, they got pretty good equipment over there, and he said, oh, he says they spent a couple $1,000s, and over in the med center they'll pay $40,000 for a machine. He says they don't have a drop in the bucket over there. Well, they talk about heart machines and stuff. I mean, and
they still might have some.
I have. I'm sure they got something, but he said you just figure out what they're spending. They don't. I don't know if they quite have that place managed, or maybe they just can't buy decent stuff because they have to loan it out.
They buy shitty stuff.
Yeah, I got to buy, well, like tape recorders, they drop them down a flight of stairs and they still run, so you can figure what quality it is. I mean, it's a big old clunker. It'll run, but you don't want to listen to it.
No, that central car cool doesn't work with everything.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't.
Well, from David's Cue, I would simply buy a couple of those TX and set them up to copy with.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep them set up for that. Every time you felt like it, you go in and run off to a street.
Mm-hmm.
Or, if we get a hold of one of those computer wizards, you see, that way. Well, at any rate, Daniel tried.
Yeah, it's been right helpful. I mean, he put out his effort, but can't really depend on that TX, or that Telex machine.
Yeah.
Like, I just went in there to use it, and the place where you put the tape had just fallen out of the machine, so not much you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, all they had to do was stick it back on. But they had to have their repairman do it. I mean, it just, it's the way it goes.
Well, you take this big Sony in here. It takes that repairman just to take the lid off.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know how to put it back on again.
Mm-hmm.
David's the only one. That colored boy down there, take it off. First thing he did was let a spring stay off so the brake wouldn't work. Now I had to take it back down there and get David to take it off and look at it and see what it was.
Hmm.
Just one little spring. See, he's not up to it. That's several grades ahead of him. Boy, it would be nice if we had a toehold over in that big library. But there's nobody over there for you to work through. I mean, you'd have to have the charge of the thing and work it out yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That'd work nice. That would be something to that give you a toehold. They don't know what they're doing over there. They got nothing established. They got no routine. They don't know a tape from a bowling ball.
Truth.
Nobody over there. And furthermore, they don't care.
No, it's curious. They just, however it copies, that's the way it goes. If it does sound bad, well, that's...
I'm talking about the big library.
Yeah.
Now, old, you see, you've got these, this huge collection of Roy Mason that Buffalo Avenue Baptist Church in out in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, that's what that is. That's a primitive Baptist preacher who's able to record himself.
Mm-hmm.
He learned to record himself and become the radio preacher.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it himself. He did it and circulated the tapes. Ain't that something? Right out of his kitchen. And they're genuine. Well, you got nobody to study them now. But one thing, you see, if we had a little toehold somewhere on the campus outside the English department, see, they're not going to go along with it. Last time I was over there, I spoke to Carr, or he spoke to me, and he said, in substance, just wait till our new folklore man comes. Well, hell, I'm not in folklore.
Mm-hmm.
At least the folklore man won't claim it, I'd say that. Well, Miss Dodd was coming over here and take care of her animals, but she hadn't got here yet. She seems to be perfectly willing for me to. She bought them, and now she's perfectly willing for me to keep them. They got hay down, you know. And I think once you get hay down, you can't think of anything else, especially with a hurricane.
I passed hay equipment coming on, but it was that kind that makes those sheets.
I've seen that.
It looked like a big forklift on the front of a tractor.
Yeah.
And
it'll stay right out in the pasture.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
I haven't seen any of it made. I've just seen some of the machines and something in a truck, and it looked like a fluffer with four of those things on a bar.
Yeah.
I knew it was a good size.
Yeah.
All of these things.
Now, let me tell you, Rick, now, whatever you do, you see, you, this you've got is an ace in the hole. And you can't do it yourself. And I could help you in it. I could go along with you in it. But I still need an outlet. You see, you've got all those studies you made.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them are useful.
Mm-hmm.
All we got to do, or you got to do, or somebody got to do, is just find the outlet. But you don't have to change what you've done. All you got to do is just polish it off a little.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once you get out of it for a while and freshen up a little bit, you work fast. You work faster than anybody I ever saw. And do it well. Now, you take this Mr. Nealon tape, the thing that you worked up. Well, you did all that yourself, and I circulated it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I got around to it, I could see that it was rough.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up where you left off and added a good deal to it. But you see, I couldn't have done that without what you had done.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see, I could go along there where you'd made the transcription. I'd go over the same thing, and with you to go by, I could correct you in a number of places, because it helped me listen to what it sort of freed my mind, and I could
mm-hmm.
listen to it. You see, and even my prose, even my transcription is better than yours.
Mm-hmm.
But it's based on yours, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta consider what I learned from that Nealon business is, and from Mr. Weaver stuff, is that the tape, no matter how well you think you know it, is still raw material, and you gotta somehow nip it out and get it in shape to you. Transcription maybe not a solid transcription. It's just one small step.
Mm.
Is there that much to them? And, but all that stuff you see that we were getting let in for is to go through it and tell what the subject was from point to point. That's no. It's not a subject matter tape anyhow, you see. It's my tape, it's my mentality in it. And it's something that's got a direction. And what you want is a direction.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you simply got to get it, or else the tape's not worth a damn. Because that's where it's made. I didn't make it that way on purpose, but that's the way it worked out. I didn't put the direction there, but I enabled Mr. Weaver to.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he's actually better than I am. Because I have studied right smart to see what the direction is. But he does it, and I think that's just remarkable. Just something. But look how far ahead of your psychologist, you see, that is.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't gone that far. He don't look at the people he's working with.
No, he's caught up in that concept.
Yeah.
He's got to develop some kind of dogma for the whole thing.
Yeah. That's what he said. Yeah, there's so many of those things that you worked out to tell. You use them. It doesn't take much work. Just freshen up, and you were just flying through some of those things. And the sort of thing none of those other birds can do. See, you'd be able to work, to write your dissertation in Melville before you even took a course in it. Nobody has ever got close to Ishmael that I've seen. The only one that mentioned it, that tried to make something out of it, was he said it was just Melville's experience, and he tried hard to make something out of it, but he never did. And nothing worked for him until the Ahab section.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Melville, that's the scholar. That's all he could see. And that old John Turner opened it up for us. Oh, he's a spirit. You have to get access to him. Then on top of that, you see, if you want a little tape, you gotta really get access to them. And that peanut thing, the way it worked out, was just exactly the wrong thing to do. Absolutely the wrong thing to do. Everything went wrong with it. Nothing went right with it. Well, it was right in this sense. That one session you had with him out there that day.
Yeah, that did open a good bit up.
That one session, that was worth all the trouble. Right? Because these tapes come high.
Mm-hmm.
God, when they think you can buy a tape for $2.50 and all that's on it. They just pay for the tape. Well, that's we didn't get that got it.
Yeah.
Your mind, you know where it is. God Almighty, that is something. That's one of the richest things that ever happened. That's richer than anything else that's happened out here, so far as I can think. That's the richest one thing, I think, that's happened. And if it hadn't been, the peanuts enabled us to do it. And then if it hadn't been for those damn peanuts, we might have got a tape of it. You have to have a little tape.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little tape. Now, you can fill in a whole lot of it. But you got to have his voice and his words to some extent. Now, maybe you wouldn't say so.
There's nothing you can do to substitute for that voice, though.
Just a little. Well, what we got, we might splice things together. But it wouldn't make anything close to what went on out there.
Hmm.
And you see, we're set up out there now. You see, you got that working. So, that's no... Now, the last time he was over here is on the weekend. He brought his wife. So I told him that weekends are the worst time for me. If he wanted to come over here and see that steer or talk business about putting grass or something up there, just slip over, have supper some night and come over here. But you see, I can't, he won't do that for me. And you have to keep after him. But you see, he'll respond to you if you keep after him. Now he's getting in that orange crop or something over there now. Want to get him when he's too busy. His mind doesn't work right. He got his mind on all that, picking up all those oranges. But just wait till a little slack time and you'll catch him. And he would put on a show. And don't have to bring him in here. We just get a soda pop and a sandwich and go out there and have that. That's what we could do.